Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Even if you haven't been out in the stores yourself these last few days, I imagine you probably heard about some of the craziness of all the Black Friday and extended Black Friday shopping sales in the stores. The kickoff to this year's pre-Christmas season, shopping season. Some retailers have been running promotions and sales for weeks in the lead up to this weekend to get people primed and ready to shop. And at homes, offices, and churches across the country, everyone is getting ready and making preparations for this holiday season, again, just as they do every year. Party plans have to be made again. Food and drink has to be prepared again. New gifts have to be purchased. Here at church, the Christmas tree and other decorations were put up again. The children's Christmas Eve service must be planned and prepared for again. The pastor must prepare again for Sunday and midweek Advent services. The Advent wreath with candles is set up, and each are lit on their appointed Sundays. Choirs are preparing for concerts, and groups of carolers will go out singing. Here at St. Andrew, our Christmas season preparations may be a bit different than they were in years past, but soon we will all be very busy making preparations, if we aren't already very busy. Each year it seems that we get lulled into the routine of all of these preparations that have to be made from all the various going-ons of the season. We strive not to let the meaning of Christmas get entirely lost in all the hustle and bustle. We try hard to take some quiet hours away from the busyness of the season to ponder the great wonder of the Incarnation, the human birth of the divine Son of God. But while we may succeed in making time in our schedules for Christmas meditation, the overarching message of Advent may often be obscured by the frantic preparations of the season. Though it's certainly good for us to meditate on the birth of Jesus at Christmas, this is not the only thing, nor even the primary thing, for which Advent intends to prepare us. Rather, in the Advent season, God in His Word intends to prepare us primarily for the second coming of our Savior Jesus, His coming at the end time, on the last day, His coming in judgment and in salvation. Or Advent also prepares us for our own personal end time, when we will go to meet Jesus when we die, if that happens before Jesus returns. Our Christmas preparations are focused on a certain point, December 25th, after which we can all relax for another 11 months, or maybe 10. But our Advent preparations are never ending. We have no idea when Jesus will come again. Yes, Jesus does tell us that there are and will be clear signs of His return, some of which we see already in the world around us. But Jesus also says that many people will not pay attention to these signs. And as a result, many people will be caught unaware when Jesus returns. Because even in spite of all the signs that He gives of His second coming, many still will not be prepared. Over the centuries, people have tried to determine exactly when Jesus will come again or when the world will end. Perhaps you have heard some of those predictions in the past, but none of them have been correct so far, and none of them will be correct in the future. Jesus is very clear to us in His Word today. No one knows when that day and hour will be. Not the angels of heaven, not even Jesus Himself, according to His human nature, whereby He willingly gave up some of His divine power and knowledge when He lived on this earth. Only God knows when that last day will be. And Jesus tells us that that last day could come at any time. that it will come suddenly when we least expect it. So Jesus tells us, be alert, be ready. How in the world are we supposed to be ready for something that we don't even know when it will happen? By the very nature of things, almost all of our preparations in life are focused on some end date, certain fixed points in time that we can see coming, whether it's a birthday, an anniversary, a holiday, an examination, a project deadline at work. We don't operate so well when we have to make preparations for something that will happen at an uncertain time in the future. A good example of something that's supposed to be ever ready is a country's military, armed forces. Even in peacetime, most countries have a standing army of trained soldiers who are to be ready on short notice to be deployed as needed in defense of the country or in defense of innocent people in other countries. Countries have defense mechanisms in place to ensure their national security so that their citizens don't need to be afraid of enemy attacks on home soil. But even those preparations are not always effective. In spite of the United States' vast intelligence and defense networks, a group of terrorists was still able to conduct a devastating attack within our own borders that claimed thousands of lives on September 11th, 2001. After the attack, some wondered if the U.S. defense and intelligence sectors had become complacent, presuming that they were almost invincible to attack. If you remember the history of the Titanic, you know that that feeling of invincibility was also similar at that time. It was said then that not even God could sink the Titanic. That is what it was like at the time of Noah. People had become complacent in their sin and pride, and they had either forgotten God or deliberately ignored his commands. So even though God gave them a clear visual sign and warning of his coming judgment in the form of that huge ark that Noah was building on dry land, and then later, after it was complete, as they saw all the animals from the whole earth coming two by two into that ark, even with those signs, the people still were not ready when the floodwaters finally did come. We can often be quite similar. We can become so wrapped up in the things of this life, things that Jesus mentioned, such as eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage, so that we are not prepared for the last day. Even as immersed as we are in God's word, here in our regular opportunities for worship and Bible study at church, the devil can still trick us to becoming complacent, to let the pleasures and the entertainment of this world dull the sense of urgency about the last day, or to let the worries of life take the focus off of Jesus and put it on ourselves and our troubles instead. The devil can make us feel comfortable in our sin and trick us into believing falsely that we are ready, when inside we may actually just be Christian zombies just plodding unthinking through the rituals of worship. But then something happens to shake us out of that spiritual slumber. Maybe it's the sudden death of a loved one, or an illness that makes us consider our own mortality, that makes us realize our need to be ever ready for the end. Maybe it's a natural disaster that reminds us of the sign of the end times that Jesus tells us. Maybe it's the intervention of a brother or sister in Christ who comes to us with God's law to knock some sense into us and wake us up from our spiritual slumber, to make us realize the rut of sinful activity that we may have gotten ourselves into, which was preventing us from being fully prepared for the end. I would guess that for all of us, there will be moments like this in this coming month, in the midst of all the Christmas preparations, moments when you realize that you have been forgetting the most important preparation of all. You have been forgetting to keep your heart and your mind ready for the second coming of your Savior Jesus. What can we do then when we realize that our focus has become misplaced? When we realize that we have been obsessing over all the wrong preparations? What can we do right now when we examine ourselves and realize that we have let our hearts be weighed down with the anxieties of life? What can we do when we recognize our sin and realize that we have not kept watch or been alert for that most important of future events? We can heed the words of Jesus in our text to be alert and be ready. We can stay alert and ready by equipping ourselves with the Word of God. Jesus says that heaven and earth will pass away at the last day, but only his words will remain. So we keep watch for the end by arming ourselves with the Word, with that forgiving, life-giving gospel of Jesus. To keep watch, we go again to the manger of Bethlehem, and we see there our God, born as our brother, born under the law to fulfill it perfectly in our place, so that we are clothed with his righteousness in God's sight. To keep watch, we go again to the cross of Calvary, and we see that our God, who was born as our brother, took our sins upon himself and suffered to death the punishment that we deserved. He removed the guilt of our sins. He has forgiven us all the sins that we have committed, the sins of being lulled into focusing on the things of this life instead of being alert and ready for Jesus' second coming. To keep watch, we go again to the empty garden tomb, and we see that our God, who was born as our brother, rose to life for us so that we also may have eternal life. And to keep watch, we go again to that hill outside Jerusalem, where we see our God, who was born as our brother, ascend high into the heavens. In heaven now, Jesus rules over all things for our good. In our second lesson today, Paul urges us to clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what makes us prepared for our Lord's second coming, even though we don't know when it will be. Because we have been clothed with Jesus through faith in him, we are now blameless and holy in God's sight. This is what enables us to be ready and to be alert for Jesus' second coming, and to look forward to it with joy, not to be filled with terror as the rest of the world is. We can be confident and joyful as the end approaches, because as Paul says in our second lesson, we know that Jesus' second coming means salvation for us, not punishment. God has made us ready through his word by giving us faith in Jesus and in full and free forgiveness that he has won for us by his life, death, and resurrection. So brothers and sisters, as Paul says in our second lesson, let us put on the weapons of light. Let us arm ourselves with Jesus' word and sacrament. And let us look forward with confidence and with joy to his second coming. Amen.